You're listening to the Cinemaphile Podcast with Andrew Shearer, brought to you by OnlineAthens.com.
All right, so Henrik, welcome back. Thanks for coming to the show.
Of course. Well, you know, I had so many other things to do, but I managed to find some time to to appear.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. It's just like all the social obligations of March 2020. It's like, how is anybody getting anything done?
Sporting events, social gatherings, just nonstop. Just really all every non-essential event that
For historic context, when we're listening to this years from now in our bunker, where only the most important historic artifacts have been saved. There's, of course, outbreak of disease, and we are trying to do our best to stay away from spreading that around. So that's unfortunately had to mean that we stay away from each other and public places and all of that stuff. And really, the craziest thing in the movie world is that the movie The Hunt, correct me if I'm wrong, is kind of the last movie standing. Like it was the last movie out, right? Before they closed the theater.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater its opening night, which was Thursday, March 12th. And in my state, Ohio, on March 13th was when they on March 12th, that during that day was when they closed all the schools and started issuing, you know, orders to close certain businesses. That was like the beginning of what we're kind of living in the middle of right now. I mean, I don't know a ton about what's going on where you are in Georgia, but in Ohio, we effective yesterday, we're on what they're calling lockdown, which I hate that terminology. I think that using scary terminology is a really bad idea to scare people, but it just means that, you know, they're closing certain businesses if they're refusing to close, but there's still like food delivery and stuff. I mean, it's not Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
No, it's similar here, except they're calling it shelter in place, you know?
Yeah, our governor decided not to use that phrasing, so he used a stay-at-home order, is what he called it. But it's the exact same law.
It's whatever it takes to make the people know, you know, if it's got to sound like a direct-to-video Sylvester Stallone movie, then it's got to sound like a direct-to-video Sylvester Stallone movie. Man, lockdown it is.
I would watch the hell out of... Oh, I see. My imaginary Sylvester Stallone movie is called Shelter in Place. I could just see Thomas Shelter as a cop who's about to learn too much.
You know, as I was thinking about Lock Up was a movie that he was in.
Oh, yeah, Lock Up. Yeah.
Man, I have
as long as he's wearing sunglasses with a toothpick in his mouth on the cover.
I'm going to blow this whole shelter sky high. It's all right. I don't shop here because I'm not allowed to legally.
I don't shelter in place here.
That's right. You won't kill many people because they'll only let five of us in.
This is not an element of cabin fever at all. There really isn't. This is the way we are. I mean,
it is, man. You know, we use humor and stuff to get through everything or whatever, punk rock and all those other things. But I had to make a choice when The Hunt came out. This is a movie by someone that I actually know, Craig Zobel, who was not born in Georgia but was raised in Georgia and was starred out as an Atlanta Film Festival with his first movie, Great World of Sound. He won a director award. And so he's kind of considered a part-time Athens resident, and I'm a fan of his movies. And so it was a big deal for The Hunt to be coming out and be a major studio as a big jump. It looked cool. It looked funny. And The night that they were going to do the Skype with Craig from the Alamo Drafthouse Q&A, I had a free ticket. And then as I was going to town, all this stuff was coming down. And I was like, all right, well, either I'm going to get a free ticket to The Hunt, which Henrik had already told me it was great.
Yeah.
Or I was going to be able to visit one of my friends, which I had a feeling might be a while before I got a chance to do that again. And so I went ahead and chose the friend. So this I don't think has ever happened before. Universal puts a couple of its movies out on demand to rent it for 48 hours, $19.99. Did that surprise you?
Yeah. It did. What surprised me was how quickly they did it. They made that decision pretty fast, which, I mean, they should. That's probably the smartest way to do it. But there, you know, I mean, this is Universal. Mostly the two of the titles that Universal pushed in were Blumhouse titles, which Universal has, I believe, its first right of refusal for all Blumhouse movies. I believe that's the way their deal works.
I didn't know that.
I'm almost certain, because almost all of their movies come out through Universal. Fantasy Island came out through Sony, but almost all of them are usually Universal if they're theatrical. So, you know, Universal has a partnership with Blumhouse in that way. And, yeah, so I was a little surprised, but also, I mean, they're risking it on movies that did not have high price tags. I don't know what The Hunt had earned in its very brief chance at theatrical, but I know that The Invisible Man, which was the other one, I mean, it killed it on its like $7 million budget. It made like $25 million right away. So, you know, they can risk it. And that's something that's really, you know, important for them, because right now, as it stands, there are no movie theaters. And that is like really weird to say. It feels weird to say that right now. I mean, I miss the movie so bad. It feels like it's been forever since I've been to the movies.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, no. We will. Well, me and you go all the time. You go more than me, even.
Sometimes, yeah, yeah. And, like, and you know, before all this happened, that was like a two or three night at the movies week, and I was planning another like three night movie week, and obviously that didn't quite work out. It's just weird that the theaters are closed and they're basically closed everywhere. But yeah, so I was excited to not hold on to the historical element too much. The Hunt, I mean, was exciting because it had been pulled from a release schedule once already. You know, it was already wrought with trouble because I know that the official story was that they pulled it because there had been some, you know, gun violence.
Yeah,
right before the film came out.
Yeah, real life, yeah.
But I don't believe that that's really why. I think it's because of the political riots that were going on at the time. I think that had a lot more to do with it. Because people were, you know, there was a lot of violence and like extremely polarized, you know, arguments going on. And I think that the movie, you know, rightfully so, it plays with some controversial stuff. Although I'm so excited to talk about it because I think it did stuff that I was not expecting at all. And I think it really took some serious risks. And I think they were really wise storytelling risks.
Yeah, no, you know, I remember when that happened and I was like, well, okay, I get it. If there's violence going on in real life and they're trying to push this a violent movie, you know, I couldn't think of other times when it necessarily happened. The only thing that really came to mind was when I was a kid, the movie Body Parts, when it came out, the Jeffrey Dahmer stuff was happening. And I remember the big story was that they had to pull the, I don't know if they pulled the movie, but they pulled the ads in Milwaukee when it was out.
Well, and like in Ireland, they postponed the release of Dawn of the Dead because there's that scene where Peter shoots the children zombies, even though it's not very graphic. But I guess in Ireland at that time, a man had walked into like a preschool or a kindergarten, middle school or a grade school, something like that, and shot it up. So they pulled it temporarily.
You know, either way though, man, I mean, it's all good for The Hunt because look at the ads they were able to do. This is the movie they pulled or whatever. Or they didn't want you to see, or it was all in the campaign. See it and decide for yourself. Like that, the ads for it now were anything like, I mean, the trailer was the same, but they had a lot more to sell it on, right? Than they would have back in like the fall when it was going to come out. Right.
To some extent, I do feel like the hype had died out for it, to be honest. But I was super pumped. The moment I heard it had a date, I was like, oh, man, I got to go see that movie. Yeah. Especially because, you know, on its exterior, looking at the trailer and stuff, it looks like it's a movie about, I don't know how else to describe it, like liberal elites hunting somewhat everyday people who are probably Trump voters.
I mean, that's in the trailer. They say that stuff like explicitly.
Yeah, I know. It's just hard to like I can't believe that that really is what the movie is, because it is. And I'm shocked that it came out of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the land of the liberal elite.
What it reminded me of, honestly, was like South Park, the way that South Park mm-hmm. will do that, you know, like that same kind of, you know, they're not really taking any sort of side or whatever. They're just trying to really satire everybody, you know?
Yeah. And I 100% agree. I think that one thing I was really surprised the movie did, and I don't think this is a massive spoiler, but my assumption about the film was that it was probably going to be more even-handed than it was being depicted, that it was probably going to be like, oh yeah, well, they're going to be these bad guy kind of stereotypical liberals who are killing people, but there'll be a good side to them too. And then there'll be these poor, you know, downtrodden conservatives who are being hunted, and there'll be a bad side to them and a good side to them, but they'll overall be the, you know, the protagonist. But no, it was much like a plethora of films where there's a relatively conservative bad guy and they don't give them they don't give them any real benefit of the doubt. It's just, these are bad guys. Now, I mean, there is that twist of kind of how the hunt all started, which we won't spoil, which is nice, but it just kind of still, it's just like one more element of like one more block in the Jenga of hypocrisy that the movie is shedding light on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I did see it. And that means I had to do the 1999. You know what was my real deciding factor, other than you telling me you would pay for half if I wasn't going to do it? What my real deciding factor was, when I was a kid, and we're not rich people and should not have been doing stuff like this, when Aliens, James Cameron Aliens, came out on VHS, my dad went to a video store and I watched him pay $89.99 for that tape. So
wow, full right? Retail.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, people don't know, man, about that. The tapes used to be a rental property, basically. So they would buy them for $100 and then they would make more money back off of them renting them. But so he paid it for that movie, man. And you know, I thought about that and I was like, you know what, if Pops would do that, what's $20 to look at a movie? You know, I have it for 2 days, you know. And I also, Craig is such a cool, such a nice person. Like, you know, he's so, I honestly was like, I want to know how he got this. What about him made them think, you know, he would be the guy to make this, you know, because his other movies aren't really like this, but he's obviously got his first movie was a comedy. His other ones weren't, but the first one really was. Because
he did Compliance, right? He did Compliance.
Well, Compliance was next, and then Z for Zachariah, and those are heavy movies, both, you know. But he did start out in comedy, but like, he is funny. He's very understated, but he is funny. And so, you know, I was like, you want to support, you know, I want to, let's just do it. Let's be part of history and pay $20. The first, you know, at home rental for us theatrical release. Let's be part of history. Let's do it.
Well, and his sense of humor is throughout almost every minute of the Hunt's runtime. It is a very funny movie. Even though I saw it like right at the beginning of businesses shutting down and stuff, there were probably about 20 other people in the theater with me. I mean, I literally saw first show Thursday night of it. And people were laughing out loud, not as loud as me, but they were laughing out loud.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, man, I there's some things in the movie that I have to say that stuck out for me. And the only way I'm going to be able to see him is if I spoil something. So I want to tell anybody who listens to the podcast, are you okay with spoiling some stuff? Because they could just turn this off, pause it, whatever, until after they see the movie or come back to it. Because there are a couple of things. Yeah. No.
Well, go. You know what? If you don't want to hear spoilers, go wash your hands for a minute and 20 seconds. You
know? That's right. A minute and 20 seconds. Exactly. No, I just, because the structure of the movie to me is cool. I mean, I feel like by the trailer, you do get the movie that they're selling you. It's really not that complicated, I don't think, in terms of that. And it really is a comedy, you know, it really is a satire. I think their main goal was to make people laugh and for people to have fun at the movies. The beginning of it is just so like comedically violent, almost Monty Python-esque violent.
Yeah,
there's that one person that just gets blown up like twice or whatever. It's something out of trauma.
It was hideous. But it's so hideous that it like goes full circle and it becomes funny.
Yeah, it's like that type of violence. And so I don't really watch stuff like that anymore. And I haven't watched any horror in the last couple. You know, I like really have not wanted to see any downbeat anything. And at first I was like, oh, Henrik, I don't know if I want to watch the, you know, I don't want to see anybody die. Yeah. But the ways they go is so banana. Like, you know, it really doesn't seem realistic like at all, you know?
Yeah. And the characters are so fleshed out. They're so interesting. So, I mean, like the violence is almost a character in the movie.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term.
Yeah, they do. And they got some really shocking gags. Like, were you surprised at the gore?
Yeah, I was surprised how violent it was. But what I wasn't expecting, something I haven't gotten from a movie in a while. What a satisfying movie that movie is.
Oh yeah.
My God. They're just like, here's a total bastard. You know, here's a bad guy or a bad woman or whatever, killing a bunch of people. And now here's them really getting it back.
I was
cheering.
It does deliver, man. And you know, it does kind of keep you guessing. There's a lot of like, you know, like, are they on the bad guy side or not type of stuff, double cross and the way they do that.
And just the opening, by the way, most of the characters that kind of die in the opening hellfire are recognizable faces.
Yeah.
To make it really hard for you to know who's going to get where. which was great. Like, I was looking at it and going like, oh yeah, and there's the guy who played the teacher in Little, and there's, you know, that actress who's been in like a bunch of these little Blumhouse horror movies, and there's Ike Barinholtz, you know, and then they just start slaughtering people and you cannot guess who's gonna die next. I loved that.
It was like Scream times five or something. It was very
For real.
And once I realized, but see, that's the thing that was so great, once you realize they're doing that, you're like, uh-oh, anything can happen to any of these people. You're not safe. What a great decision it was. And you know, I think what you picked up on as far as it being so satisfying is I feel like they took great care of that tone through the entire movie. Like, it is gory and it is violent, and it is, you know, definitely social satire, political satire, but they really, like, they seem like they really were careful, like where the jokes go, where the violence goes, where the story goes. It seemed like they took a lot of time with all the pieces, like making sure nothing ever teetered way too far out. I think that's my problem with seeing things that are comedic and violent, is that I feel like a lot of times they're way too nihilistic. I never really felt that way about this movie. I don't think it was like the filmmakers putting people into a canon, you know?
No. It had an oddly upbeat pace too. And I just loved how the main character, once she kind of is revealed, I loved how smart she was. And like, that was something I was just so into. I was so into seeing what decisions she was going to make next, because she was so, if this movie falls into a category of film that is one of my favorite categories ever, and I know you've heard me talk about this before, the you don't know who you're messing with category.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, yeah, like Die Hard.
Surviving Commando, the game.
You know, Surviving the Game. I mean, yeah. There are so many famous and wonderful examples. Rambo, you know, just you don't know who you're messing with movie. And this one falls right into that category very, very well. But I do want to say, I mean, there were so many like just memorable lines. I've still been quoting them. I saw it with my buddy Dave, of course, and Rachel, to my best pals in the world. And I'm so glad I saw it with them, because I get to quote it to them. You know, I don't know how many times like Dave said something in a text message that sounds, you know, that's like jokingly nihilistic. And I just reply, thank you for your service. See, well, you have to see that movie to get that joke, but that was so good.
Yeah. Betty Gilpin, had you seen her in anything? Are you a Glow watcher? Did you know her before you saw her?
I watched Glow. Yeah. And to be frank, I hadn't placed her face perfectly. I just, when I saw her, I knew her face.
Right.
But yeah, I love Glow. Glow's a lot of fun. And the last season of Glow, I thought it was going to start to stink, and then it didn't. And that was awesome.
Yeah, as far as new shows are concerned, it's the only one I've stuck with. Like, it was still really good. But she was my favorite thing about the movie. Like I appreciate it in all the, for all the reasons that you did. And, yeah, again, I did see it as kind of like a live action South Park, which was to me great, but,
well, and she's supposed to be the best part of the movie. I mean, like the way they give her just, and I don't mean this any disrespect to her incredible talent, but they gave her softballs. They gave her just awesome material to get to do, which is great.
They did. And I feel like what she added to it, she made this character Crystal weird. Like she is weird. Like she makes little noises and faces that is not action hero noises and face. It's not like one of my favorite movies, Long Kiss Goodnight. You like that movie, right?
Oh, I love Long Kiss Goodnight.
So it's like lady who, you know, we don't know who we're messing with becomes, you know, I mean, she's got this other personality, where, but eventually Billy Badass, wisecracker, whatever, you don't get the sense that she's like off. And I wish I could find this article that I read, but it was about Commando being a psychopath. And I'm like, all right, well, what if you just have an off action hero? You know, somebody that's just a little, you know, got maybe some shell shock or something. My favorite scene in The Hunt, among many, I mean, I could say my favorite second, was just any time she just went, instead of saying something or doing something.
Yeah.
But it's when she's in the car with the guy, Macon Blair.
Macon Blair.
All right. I love him. She like, you watch her on her face decide, I don't trust this guy. And so she just like subtly lifts her legs up. She eyes go like bug and she just kicks him out of the car. It was watching her make that decision, but then physically do a weird move with her legs. And I can't tell you right away a performance I've seen that's that weird, you know?
No, it's like so far out there. And I mean, and to me it worked in particular, not only because it was so entertaining, but because people who have combat training and stuff like that, they have to be able to shut, to be incredibly successful in combat, you have to kind of shut off a element of your humanity. It just has to be shut off.
Yeah.
It's the only way you can get up and do that over and over again, which is why like you could look at a movie like Commando and just say, look, he's a psychopath. Perhaps. I mean, perhaps. Yeah. Or at least he's a psychopath when he picks up an RPG, because he has to be. Like, you can't pick up an RPG and be like, huh, well, will these people amount to anything better than what they are? Oh, well, I already launched it. They blew up. You know, like, it doesn't work that way. I mean, but I mean, like, and not to get like highly dark, but like, in society, generally people who use firearms defensively and kill people in self-defense, or even kill people in self-defense in fights or whatever, often, I mean, they have to go to therapy. They go through post-traumatic stress. And those are people, you know, that 100% did not in any way, shape, or form choose to experience the things they experienced. You know, it just kind of happened. So I liked that she had these weirdnesses and stuff, because she clearly has been in battle, or as she called it, you know, has been in the shit.
Yeah, but you found that out like later, but right off the bat, she was talking about her job and, you know, just like, if you go back the second time you look at the movie, it's there from the very beginning. It's that trauma or whatever is all over her face from the very beginning, to whatever her experience did to her. So that by the time you get to the reveal, which is not until way later in the movie, I believe that one, that military advisor, the Coast Guard guy or whatever he was
National Guard. Yeah.
National Guard. He asked her about, you know, what her training was. And it's just the most subtle thing. I think she just very few words about her background and how she was so adept at hand to hand and weaponry and all that other stuff. Very simple. No.
And tactics. The biggest thing was tactics, because her main ability wasn't strength or even, you know, accuracy with firearms. It was tactical. It was entirely that her tactics were so far and above everyone she was dealing with, because nobody else was tactically prepared at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, she'd be like, all right, we got to storm this bunker. Let's drop a pig in front of it. And when they're confused, we start killing them. You know, and you're like, yeah, I mean, that's a tactic that makes sense. You know, and Yeah, there's that great part where he just says, like, you know, he's in the I love how I said what he was in and now I can't remember. He was in the National Guard and he was mostly just like an advisor for movies.
Yeah.
You know, and
Tears of the Sun.
Yeah.
Tears of the Sun. It's so random.
It's so good. But it's just, and there's just, but there's just this whole incredible part. I mean, since we're just talking spoilers, what may be my favorite part of the entire film, not that Hilary Swank isn't a humongous bonus to the film as well. She's great.
So good.
We haven't even gotten to her yet, but there's just a part where they're talking after she's taken everyone out and he's wounded. And he asks her and she's like, yeah, I was in Afghanistan. And then she's like, have you ever been in the shit? And he's like, well, I mean, right now. And she's like, that's a good way of looking at that.
That's a good way of looking at that.
And then she just cocks the gun. Well, thank you for your service, and executes him right then and there.
Yeah. I mean, it was surprising that he was still alive. I mean, that man was just, he was out of there.
There's the whole part about you can't kill a woman. So she asks her, like, do you want me to spare your life simply for the fact that you are a woman? Bam.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm so glad you said that, because I hadn't thought about it in terms of South Park. Because to be frank, I feel like outside of South Park, there's so little like mainstream TV and movies that lampoon the people that this movie lampoons.
Nobody that I could. I thought of South Park immediately when the trailer, when I realized what it was about, because South Park has had a lot of gory, violent premise like that, and they will they send everybody their equal opportunity. You know?
Yeah. No, they really, really are. And because I mean, to me, what the movie's underlying message was, it was just one giant message about how there are a lot of people of holier than thou hypocritical liberals who, you know, because in the movie they're like sitting in a bunker murdering human beings for sport, for fun, and spending a lot of money to do it, but they're still very concerned about saying, hey guys, that's a very rude and assumptionary thing to do, saying, what do you guys want to have for dinner? Listen, let's just slaughter these people, these innocent human beings. But please, let's use some non-gendered language about the group of people, okay?
Yeah,
that's great.
And they were, you know, to show them then that they will murder you know, somebody that they don't agree with or whatever. I mean, it's, you know, the movie definitely has something to say about all of that. And that was just the only thing, like you said, the only thing I could think of where you will get humor like this, you know?
Yeah, South Park. Because I remember, gosh, man, remember friggin' Team America World Police?
I saw that in the theater, man. I have did that too. Movie.
I was 18 years old when it came out. So I was literally just old enough to go see it. And my jaw was like on the floor that entire film. I could not believe how they were shish kebabbing everyone.
Well,
I
mean, those guys, after the experiences that they'd had with Hollywood, I mean, if anybody is going to like have something to say about Hollywood, it was them. They could never get, I saw in Athens, Orgasmo played the Georgia Theater. I don't think it played many theaters, but it played the Georgia. And we saw that there. And at that time, I thought Orgasmo was the funniest movie I ever seen in my life. Like
it was so funny.
It really, and basketball, I walked out of Saving Private Ryan and saw basketball instead. Like, I had a panic attack in Saving Private Ryan. And so the first 15 to 20, I just walked out and basketball was starting. I'm like, you know what? Let's just do this.
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah, and I'll say I have not watched South Park in a minute, but I remember exactly the type of humor that they do. It's in everything that they do, you know? So that
was funny. A lot of people talk about South Park, about how those first few seasons, like, it's just not like those seasons. I wasn't that into South Park until it had been on the air for like 9 years. That's when I started to really dig it, was when they started to hit that stride of just commentary. You know, just really intensive commentary.
Yeah, they're true outsiders. You know, they let them do what they want. They're truly on the outside, you know. And so that was what I thought of with this. But I don't want to skip over from talking about, we just mentioned Hilary Swank briefly. Are you a fan of Hilary Swank going in?
Oh yeah. I mean, ever since she was the next Karate Kid.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. That movie played cable all the time when I was a kid, and I was obsessed with martial arts, thanks to Bruce Lee movies and stuff. So I watched the next Karate Kid, probably a dozen or more times just on daytime cable.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. And I'm a big fan. I love Boys Don't Cry. That's like one of my favorites.
It's no The Next Karate Kid, but that is a good movie.
I mean, you know, what are you going to do? They're very different.
Really? I don't know.
I mean, it depends. It's been a while since I saw Next Karate Kid. I'll have to get back to you on that.
I bought it on Blu-ray when it came out on Blu-ray last year. I haven't cracked that open. I need to get on that.
Yeah, man. You know, what are you doing talking to me? Yeah. If you can find a minute to look at the last Next Karate Kid. But I thought having her as the villain was spectacular because I knew she's a physically great actor because, you know, she's done some very physical role, Million Dollar Baby. I don't know if you like that movie or not, but that's, she was so good there. And of course, Next Karate Kid.
Oh, I was just going to say, Hilary Swank, one of the things I've always been really impressed by with her is she's either the most vulnerable person ever. Like, you just look at her and you're like, oh man, like, I hope somebody protects her. Or she's like, like the supremest bitch.
Yeah.
Like, she's so good at both.
Yeah.
I mean, so good at both. But it's just so interesting because, you know, since I've directed a couple movies and I always think about people's faces, like what story a person's face can tell. Or what story they can make their face tell. And Hilary Swank, you know, with her features, you know, with having kind of a big jaw, kind of big teeth, you know, all that stuff. She can totally work that into being kind of shy and vulnerable. Or she can work it into those features being domineering and powerful. I find that like fascinating. She's so fascinating to watch in pretty much anything she does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How like stoked were you for like that showdown with her and Betty Gilpin character, knowing what Betty Gilpin's character could do and not necessarily knowing so much of what Swank character can do, but what we've seen her capable of doing in other movies.
Honestly, I figured that would be the thing that would, you know, get me through the whole movie excited. And then I like forgot because the whole movie was getting me so much. I know I sound like you cause I'm going woo woo about this movie, but like I see a lot of movies in the theater. And this was one of the funnest times in the theater that I've had in a while. And I mean, I love the movies I see in the theater. I mean, like Invisible Man was one of the scariest, tensest times I've had in the theater in a little while. Yeah. But this movie, like, I just couldn't remember the last time I was just like hooting and hollering and cheering and gasping all the time in the cinema. It had been a while. So I mean, The Hunt really delivered for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly just to have them such a long fight, you know, you think about like the really good ones like Kill Bill, you know?
Yeah. It made me think of Kill Bill because it took place mostly in a kitchen.
In the kitchen. It made me think of Vivica Fox.
Yeah.
They really tore it up, man. They broke everything and hurt each other bad. Like it was cool. And you really didn't know what was going to happen. You're just like, I got, you know, they're using kitchen utensils to hurt each other with too.
Yeah. Making I wish they had cheese,
right? Oh God, Gruyere's no good, man. I just want to go on record, but like when she's cauterizing her side, they spoil that in the trailer. So I was like, oh, dude, okay.
But with a souffle torch,
right? Wasn't it?
It was a souffle torch.
It was really good. No, it would have been interesting, man, to see, you know, because there was going to be a like kind of like a break, before that and the next blockbuster movie, which would have been Mulan, I guess, which is coming out. Well, was supposed to come out this coming weekend, but it would have been interesting to see how the audience responds to The Hunt, because I like you said, I really think people had a lot of fun with it. I'll tell you this, the friends of mine that did see it over there at Cine on that free show, Craig did not end up doing the Skype because they ended up not, that theater, I guess, closed. That he was going to do it from the draft house there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think they were early in the closures.
Yeah. Yeah. No, very smart. My friend who's she's a musician, singer, songwriter type, very soft spoken, definitely liberal leaning. She ran out of that talking about, this is amazing. One of the best movies I've seen. So I was like, whoa, all right. You know, so I feel like people would have seen it for the satire that is. I think it would have really made people like kind of unified in a way and able to be, laugh at each other and at themselves. And ultimately not a harmful movie in any way.
No, I agree. I don't think it's harmful. I think anybody who couldn't, and I've heard little, you know, reviews and stuff where people are mad about it for, and it's because they're showing their own political bias, which, you know, they're characters, but they're not humans. They're representing humans. But I've seen a few people get mad, but for the most part, people give other people not enough benefit of the doubt, in my opinion. Most people can laugh at themselves. Most people can see inherent humor, inherent fallacies in their own worldviews. And also, I think a lot of people who, you know, who may fall on the left side of the spectrum probably do hate the type of people they're depicting in Hunt because they're not likable. They're not. They're pricks. They're right. Hypocrites, and they deserve to have a light shined on them. I mean, just the way that whole scene at the beginning in the airplane, the way they treat the flight staff. Why would you treat the flight staff that way?
Oh, I know, man. But you know they do, right? I mean, people do.
Oh, yeah.
I thought about Get Out a little bit, the way that all the people in the house ended up being, you know?
Yeah.
I thought about that a little bit too.
No, well, and Get Out's a great, except Get Out, you know, I feel, although it had some moments of Out Loud, I thought that overall that, you know, Get Out's very understated and subtle. And The Hunt is, I mean, like,
it's the opposite of that. It's
a water balloon fight.
Yeah.
it's as subtle as a water balloon fight.
No, very, very different approaches that those two movies would take. Now, the writer of The Hunt was one of the people that came up with Lost, right? That show Lost.
I haven't had a chance to really look into the writers. I was very curious where the hell that script came from, though.
Yeah, I don't think that. I want to say that Craig did not write this movie. He didn't. I mean, his other movies, Zephyr Zachariah, I believe it might have been based on a book. That wasn't one that he wrote. But yeah. I think he was one of the people that made Lost, which is a show I didn't like. I think he's involved in the new Watchmen of HBO, which I really would like to see. I think he's one of those like kind of, you know, sci-fi type writers or whatever, but
I definitely think I recalled there being three credits.
Okay.
On the writers too. Yeah. I remember I wanted to look into it because for some reason I got it into my head. Maybe it was just because he was in it briefly. For some reason I got it in my head that Ike Barinholtz had written it.
And that
film was very like The Oath.
Yeah. Yeah. The Oath. We talked about that. That was one. I don't know if a lot of people have seen that one. That didn't get like the advertising. I don't think it went to theaters.
If it did, it was extremely limited.
Would you say it's a good double bill with The Hunt, or what would you put on double with The Hunt?
Oh my God. Yeah. I would say, start with The Oath and end with The Hunt. Cause by the end of The Hunt, you'll be exhausted, but very, very happy.
Do you ever see one called The Last Supper in the '90s with like Cameron Diaz is in it? It is see if you could find, and if you can't, I'll try to figure out how to get you my copy. I remember seeing it like 96, Cameron Diaz is the star. Courtney B. Vance is also in it. Nora Dunn's also in it. It's a bunch of like art friends, like, you know, oh, Ron Eldard, he's so funny. They're all live in a house together and they're all like liberal people, right? Mm-hmm. So they come up with this idea that they're going to invite someone with opposing views of them to dinner. And they end up actually murdering them.
Holy.
And so they... Right. So it starts to be like this dinner party where they successfully get away with the first murder and they bury him in the yard because they murder him by poison. I think the first one occurs on accident, but then they start doing it on purpose. And it
gets
crazy.
You know what? I think I saw it on cable when I was a teenager because that sounds really familiar.
Yeah. That's one that I might put with this actually. Because it basically makes it asks some of them same questions about, you know, who's a human being or not, because they don't, you don't agree, right? Kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
ooh, I had to check because I got so excited by the way you described it. You can rent it on Amazon and it is on Blu-ray.
Nice.
So yeah, I might have to look into that.
Her other movies are Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror and The Bye Bye Man.
Why didn't you just say that? Why'd you say all the other stuff?
I don't know. I have Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror. I actually have interviewed her on the podcast. She and her husband were in the husband plays one of the characters. I've actually had her on the podcast before that made That's The Last awesome. Supper.
That's so sick. That's great. No, I really liked The Bye Bye Man a lot. I mean, it didn't reinvent the genre, but it was a good time.
Yeah, they were on prior to it coming out. They were like, I don't know if they're in post or if it was about to come out, but yeah, I wanted to really talk to her about that because we used to watch The Last Supper all the time. Check it out, man. Let me know what you think.
I will. I if I can find the time.
If you can find the time. Well, do you, before we go, do you want to tell everybody like where they can, how they can support you, where, you know, the new movies you got out and what you're, you know, all of that stuff? Just drop the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're into physical media, you can check out my stuff at henflix.com, HENFLIX. I've been running a sale because like a lot of people who work in entertainment right now, we're pretty much just out of work. So, if you feel like buying a movie, henflix.com is great, or you can just, search me on social media. I'm easy to get a hold of. My name, I could never expect you to spell it from guessing, but it's in the show notes. It'll probably be in the title of the episode or something like that. If you just copy and paste that, sumbitch in there, you'll be able to find me. You know, I do a lot of stuff. I also, you know, you're listening to a podcast right now. I have two podcasts, currently. One called Weekly Spooky, which is a weekly scary story narration show where you get to hear original short stories narrated. And we do one every Wednesday, which you can find out more at weeklyspooky.com or just search Weekly Spooky on whatever podcast app you're into. And the other is a show called This Show is Awkward, which is a talk show I do with my good friend Michelle, who is not quite like anyone else on the planet. And that's why I put the show together, because I was like, I need to share Michelle with the world. It's important.
And thank you, because I love that show. And now everyone knows what we know about Michelle, what we have always known.
Yeah, no. And then the education curve is steep. They're learning very quickly.
Well, man, I look forward to doing this again sometime with you. I look forward to going to the movies, period. I look forward to everybody getting better and everybody getting their, you know, getting back to work. And, in the meantime, I'm going to watch my new Star Wars Blu-ray and just go to a galaxy far away for a little while. What do you think?
I'm going to watch my new Alien Factor Blu-ray, because it's basically the same thing.
I mean, what are you going to do?